وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله خير زلت مولانا سليم ساب. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continuing with the role that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam plays in the lives of the mu'mineen, Mawlana Abu Hassan al-Inadwi rahmatullah alayhi had written something very, very beautiful. And he says, while indicating the ends and objects of the raising up of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the apostle, as the prophet, the Quran Majeed has specifically mentioned four things. And the four things are the recital of revelations, teachings of scripture, teachings of wisdom, and the purification of the soul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He it is who has sent among the unlettered ones a messenger of their own to recite unto them his revelations and to teach them the scripture and wisdom. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Though heretofore they were indeed in error manifest. Another ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. Even as we have sent unto you a messenger from among you who recites unto you our revelations and causes you to grow and teaches you the scripture, wisdom, and teaches you that which you knew not. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission comprises of these four departments. Just as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the world a new scripture, the Quran Majid came by the command of Allah and appointed a new morality and a new faith, a new devotion and eagerness, a new magnanimity and high-mindedness, a new spirit and solitude for the hereafter, a new notion of contentment, and a new concept of indifference to worldly goods and glory, a new ideal of love, kindness, and compassion, a new joy of worship, and a new wealth of divine fear, repentance, and supplication. Allahu Akbar, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. What a prophetic mission. On these foundations was built the Islamic society and the moral and spiritual environment involved, which is commonly known as the era of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions. The companions were the finest people and most admirable representatives of the aims and effects of the raising up of the sacred Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One should look at these great Sahaba ikram, this august body who stayed in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The raising of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his teachings and his precepts were the fountainhead of these blessings and the whole structure of life, both individual and collective. In the first century of Islam, but if a study in depth was made of how it all came about and its ways and means were analyzed, it would appear that the essential elements and basic formulative factors of that marvelous revelation were three: the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the noble Quran, the sayings and sermons and teachings and exhortations of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which are the ahadith. So these factors, as a little thought, show that lies behind this a complete manifestation of the ends and the effects of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they have played a decisive role in making of the new ummah an ideal society, a perfect life, and a collective design could not come into existence without them. In our world, a lamp is lit by a lamp. So the true Islamic morality, which is found side by side with faith and action in the lives of the companions and their faithful successes and the attendant lofty idealism and deep religious feelings, were not used simply to the recital of the scripture, but had also been infused and instilled by the most inspirable and lovable personality of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that was present before them all the time, and from whose company guidance and utterances they used continuously to profit. The typical spirit and disposition of Islam, in which there was not only the legal compliance of commanded injunctions, but also the incentives to act upon them, and the softer values of life and refined oral instincts, went along with orderly conduct, which came to be molded by the assemblage of all these influences. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received the command to establish Salah from the Quran, and they also heard the critical explanation of who are the humble in their prayers. So, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. But it was only when they had offered Salat with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they observed the state of his ruku and his sajda, that they realized its true significance. They had learned from the Quran that Salah was a most favorite act for the believers. Until they heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, the coolness of my eyes lies in Salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Bilal, give the call of Salah and bring comfort to my heart. So there was always a deep longing for Salah. It was no burden. But this effect, this aspect of Salah, was taught to the Sahaba Ikiram by the true yearning of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَقَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ حَتَّى يَعُودُ إِلَيْهِ. Their hearts remain in the masjid when they go out of it, and they have no peace till they return. So Muslims, mu'mineen, who are attached to the masjid, so they could not appreciate the reality of the bond obtaining between the masjid and the truthful believer spirit. They had repeatedly read in the Quran the exhortation to beseech the Lord for their needs, and also heard that he was displeased with those who did not supplicate to him. But its real purport and substance dawned upon them only when they heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the eve of the battle of Badr, with his forehead placed on the ground, he said, O Allah, if the small band of worshippers have to perish this day, there will be none to take your name. And then they noticed a state of extreme distress and anxiety. And that led Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala to exclaim, said, O Messenger of Allah, it is enough now. They knew that the life breath of supplication was humbleness, and an entreaty was precious to the extent to which it possessed that attribute. But the meaning of humbleness was revealed to them only when they heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these words. And these words are worthy to be written down in gold. Allahumma innaka tasma'u kalami wa tara makani wa ta'lamu sirri wa alaniyati la yakhfa alayka shay'un min amri wa ana al-ba'isu al-faqir al-mustaghith al-mustajir al-wajd al-mushfiq al-muqir al-mu'tarif bi-dhanbi as'aluka mas'alata al-miskin wa abtahilu ilayka ibtihal al-mudhnib al-dhalil وادعوك دعاء الخائف الضرير دعاء من خضعت لك رقبة وفادت لك عبرته وذلك وذل لك جسمه ورغم لك أنفه اللهم لا تجعلني بدعائك شقيا وكن لي رؤوفا رحيما يا خير المسؤولين ويا خير المعطين. Oh Allah, Thou hearest what I say and seest wherever I am in whatever state. Thou knowest what is secret and what is manifest in me, and nothing concerning me is concealed from Thee. I am in distress, a beggar. I beg Thee for succor and protection. Thy fear is gripping me. I confess my sins. I supplicate to Thee like a poor, helpless supplicant. I beseech Thee like a wretched sinner. I implore Thee like an afflicted, awestruck slave, a slave whose head may be bowed before Thee, whose tears may be flowing in Thy presence, and whose body may be bent in utter submission, a slave who may be lying prostrate on the ground, begging, imploring, and crying his heart out with a nose rubbing the earth. O my Lord, do not reject my prayer. Have mercy on me, O Thou the best of givers and noblest of helpers. So they had read in the Noble Quran, the Sahaba Ikram, about the transitoriness of this world, you know, this the temporary nature, and the permanence of the hereafter, and knew by heart, you know, the verse, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبٌ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيْوَانِ. What a potent message for the Ummah, that the life of this world is but a pastime and a game. Lo, behold, the home of the hereafter, that is the actual life. But they gained the full mental grasp of the practical implications of this verse from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would go hungry. He would tie stones to his belly. There was no luxury in his life. You know, days would pass and the fire was never ever lit in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He himself displayed, you know, the love for the hereafter and qanaat and contentment and no attachment to this worldly life. And that is where the Sahaba Ikram learnt it. So there are so many things that you learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When there would be in a battle, they would call out after hearing from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhira. Oh Allah, there is no joy, there is no comfort other than the joy of the future in the hereafter. So when this practical life, you know, they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they also, the Sahaba Ikram, long for the blessings of paradise. And they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save them from the endless tortures of hell, of Jahannam. Because they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as perfect as he was, crying in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So truly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a perfect example for humanity. And we cannot move a fraction of an inch in any direction without realizing our attachment to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we say that Raditu billahi rabba, I am pleased with my Allah as my Rabb, wa bin Islami deena, and with Islam is my deen, then who was responsible for teaching us who our Rabb is? Who was responsible for giving us our deen? You know, وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my Nabi and my Rasul. It was he who sacrificed and who toiled and who fought in the battles, and his tooth became shaheed and he bled, you know, in Taif. He underwent all the difficulties and demonstrated to this ummah, you know, what the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the loftiest and the highest stages in maqami mahmood that is deserving of him. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.